But how do we explain the term grace to a child? Grace had been used as name in name of many ladies. Their name Grace. Hopefully, learn about this so that when you meet somebody whose name is Grace, you would tell them that would be one way to start a conversation about the grace of God. Oh, your name is Grace. I normally say when I meet somebody whose name is Grace, your name is so precious, so wonderful. It's Grace. It reminds me of the grace of God. You can start with that. So what is grace? Grace is favor. It's the generosity of God. But grace is unmerited, undeserved favor, divine assistance of God to mankind, given freely. So meaning we cannot do anything. We can do nothing to earn or deserve His grace because He just freely gives His grace unconditionally to anyone He chooses. You may be tall, short, poor, rich, no gender, or with gender, whatever your gender is, the Lord would grant you grace if He chooses you to give His grace unconditionally. There's no string attached, so to say. All we need to do is receive His grace by faith. And even faith is gift of God. Faith is precious, valuable, essential for us to receive abundant grace of God. Without faith, we cannot receive His grace. Or He may give us His grace, but we will never recognize that it comes from God unless we have that gift of faith. Therefore, how could we have faith? Pray, ask God, Lord, give me faith. Give me faith and help me receive your abundant grace. When we receive His grace, we can personally sense that peace, fullness of life. It's by the grace of God that you would sense that. That when you enjoy life with peace, that's the grace of God. That is why grace and peace go together. They are inseparable twins, if you would accept that concept. If you have grace, you have that peace. Without peace, you cannot say that's grace. So when you sense that peace, even when there's struggle, difficulties around, that's the grace of God working in our life. It's our human tendency to quickly finish any task. We want it done immediately. People rush at any given day on the street. Did you rush coming here? They are in a hurry always. Someone said, avoid the rat race. You are not rat. Avoid getting in a hurry. Do your task calmly, steadily, without rushing, but with joyful peace in your heart. That is very brilliant, this advisory that cannot be readily carried out by ordinary person. Do your task calmly. Calmly, I need to hurry, I need to finish this, I have many things to do in line. So what if you can do everything in line that you have in your list? But you did not have peace, you have not enjoyed your life. That is not life. That is curse, actually. It's curse. Why do you like living in a curse instead of joyful? Now, is it biblical to avoid rushing? Is it biblical to avoid in a hurry? If so, We need the grace of God. The grace of God to avoid getting in a hurry. Why? Well, how do you personally interpret and practically apply what it declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11? Let's read this together. God has made everything beautiful in its time. Did you see? Have you seen? Or do you want to see that everything includes all things God made beautiful in its time? If you want to see that beauty that God had planned for everything, then don't hurry. Because you cannot push, you cannot rush, but you don't linger as well, of course. Hurry and rush, work, they are not beautiful. Have you observed that? You hurry washing your dishes, and then you come back later, oh, this was not removed. Because you were in a hurry, you were not able to recognize those things. If you go ahead of God's perfect time, we cannot rush the beautiful plan of God. You want a beautiful plan of God for you? Start now. Start avoiding hurrying. Just do what you think is best without hurrying. Do your best. Do your best. When we hurry, we rush with urgency. Why is that? Why do you want to hurry? Why do you want to rush? We want to be, like for example, we want to be the first in line. Shopping store, for example, especially during Boxing Day, you want to go there and be the first in line. You might not get what you have hoping to get to buy. Or you want to be the first in line at drive-through coffee shop before they open. Do you know that? Do you consider such as inspired by the Holy Spirit to hurry? Is it inspired by the Holy Spirit? Human instinct causes us to hurry, to rush. That's the human instinct. We want to be ahead of everyone else. We want to be the best. We want to avoid being called failure. We want to avoid that. We want to accomplish what others had accomplished. We want to attain what others had attained. We want to achieve what others had achieved. We are envious. We desire similar success. We want to achieve what others had achieved. It declares in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 4, all toil, all achievement spring from one person's envy of another. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Now, do you understand that? It's hard. Why? Because this saying was written by the wisest king of Israel. If you reach that level of wisdom of King Solomon, you would internalize that. But by the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit, we can. It's the Holy Spirit who revealed to King Solomon and write this. And he personally understood it. We can personally understood by the grace of God. In everything we accomplish, achieve, or attain, it can be meaningful when our motivation, when our inspiration comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Our personal goal should be, as believers, should be to fulfill our mission purposes that the Lord had designed for us. Our goal is to glorify God and not just be contented or accumulation or possession of practical things that have no eternal value. So does hurrying and rushing or performing with urgency considered sinful to the Lord? And that depends on our motivation. If the Holy Spirit inspires you and you got that joy, you got that peace, you are enthusiastic, You are enthusiastic to be here at the start of the worship service. That's the Holy Spirit inspiring you. So you rush, hurry in urgency. Can you agree that our worship is also service to God? Do you serve God through worship? Let's read again verse 1, first part of verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Christ. What can we learn in this phrase? Simon Peter was the most vocal apostle. If there's someone in the group of the apostles who would speak first, that's Simon Peter. Individuals who are very vocal are most often misinterpreted as attention seeker. They have ADHD. Yet Peter introduced himself as servant first and next apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, that would help us understand why did he introduce himself first as an apostle and then as servant if he was seeking attention. Well, probably because Peter had already matured spiritually. And theologians suggest that Peter exemplified how the grace of God had transformed him from attention seeker, seeking attention, to being exemplary in his practice of faith in the Lord. And certainly, personal transformation, this is one of the most practical proof of faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody can say, I have faith, I am a Christian. The grace of God had transformed Peter practically. If you were to tell others, somebody, your friends, what had been transformed in your life ever since you believe in Jesus Christ, what would that be? What would that be? Peter had wanted to be remembered first as servant. That's what he wanted his readers to remember about him, that he was a servant. And of course, as apostle of Jesus Christ, included that. Why did he describe himself as servant and apostle? Well, why not just say, I am servant of Jesus Christ and that's it? Or why not just say, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ and that's it? Why include both? The term apostle means sent out or sent ones. They are sent. Missionaries, they are the modern day apostles. They are sent to proclaim the message of salvation. Why did they use missionary instead of apostle? Well, sometimes when you use the term apostle, people would think about the 12 apostles, and they were the only original apostles. So there's the specific apostles, the special apostles, and the general apostles. So general apostles, meaning in the meaning of apostolos in Greek, you are sent out. Sent to proclaim the message of salvation, the gospel of Christ. It was not biblically mentioned if Simon Peter served as pastor of the church. He did not say, I, Simon Peter, servant and pastor of this church. No, it did not mention in the Bible. He chose to be remembered as apostle, not as pastor. He served in the mission as missionary. Interestingly, why did he specify that he served as or servant and apostle of Jesus Christ? Let's read what Apostle Paul declared in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. God exalted him, that was Jesus Christ, to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge or confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, can you discern why Simon Peter introduced himself as servant and apostle of Jesus Christ? Why not just say, I'm a servant and apostle? Without mentioning Jesus Christ, he mentioned Jesus Christ because it was an honor for him to serve as apostle of Jesus Christ. It's a great honor. If you chose someone to serve wholeheartedly, if you are to serve somebody all the days of your life, preparing food, preparing for the needs of somebody, who would you choose? You might want to choose the kings of kings, the Lord of lords. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is above every name. Name, any name, Christ is above all those names. Every name should bow to him in heaven and on earth and the earth. And Peter exemplified a service to Jesus Christ as apostle. He served as apostle, he served as missionary. He went out his way. He did not stay at one church. He did not just stay in Jerusalem. He went everywhere to tell and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Service to Jesus is never a personal choice. Well, this is my choice. I choose to serve the Lord. To tell you frankly that if you are to choose Jesus Christ to serve him, it did not originate from our human instinct, because the first thing that we want to serve is ourselves. We can never convince anybody to serve the Lord. We can never. It is the Holy Spirit of Christ who would regenerate a person, even if we tell them, serve the Lord. Almost every preacher would say, serve the Lord, every Sunday. And yet, not everyone would respond. It's because it's the Holy Spirit who would move the heart. It is by the grace of God that believers serve the Lord with joyful peace. So don't just say, I want to serve the Lord. I don't. Instead, ask the Lord to increase your faith, strengthen your faith, that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you sense that peace, that joy, that love in your heart from the Holy Spirit, spontaneously, you will not even be thinking you are serving the Lord. Now, how many among us regularly drop by drive-through for their morning coffee? Did you go by drive-through this morning? Did you pass by there this morning? What is your probable reason that you would order coffee at drive-through? I am not very interested in ordering coffee at drive-through. When I heard the stories of people driving, yeah, they ordered their coffee, and then after 1 kilometer or two, they started sipping their coffee, and it's not hot. It's cold. And they are late. They cannot go back. So they are very angry going to work because their order was not what they wanted. Well, that is one thing that you would pray. If you have a favorite place, drive-through, pray for that person, Lord. Bless those working in that drive-through that they may serve me pretty good. Pray. That is one good thing to pray for. One day, you might be able to have one opportunity to share the gospel with them. Surely you appreciate it if you order your coffee at drive-through service, and the drive-through service is very quick. But if they are very slow, you would not like it. That is why instead of going inside the restaurant, people would just go right through, because many of those servants in the restaurant would be attentive first to those who are ordering through drive-thru instead of those who are inside the restaurant. If you have an important appointment with an important person, of course you desire that you would be served with quickness, right? Now, so if you sense that urgency to an appointment, you want to go to that appointment, and you do not want to be late to that distinctive person. Why? Probably you have a business appointment, and you do not want to miss that business opportunity, or else that business opportunity will be gone. You do not want to upset the person who would be offering you a great opportunity for business. How much gladness should we have when we gather to serve the Lord and worship Him? If Christ is the King of Kings, if Jesus is the Lord of Lords, if the name of Jesus is above every name, how much importance are we giving Him? All genuine believers are admonished in Psalm 100, verse 2 and 3. Let's read. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, sheep of His pasture. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that the Lord made us, that the Lord owns us, that we are His sheep? It is by faith, again, it's by the grace of God, we will recognize that. You will personally sense gladness and want to worship and serve the Lord when His grace has practically transformed you. It takes transformation to sense that. So don't force yourself. When you hear sermon and you are pricked in the heart, in your conscience, you are hurt. Pastor, again, talking about me, somebody might be saying that. No, it's not me talking to you. It's the Holy Spirit. Ask Him, Lord, help me respond accordingly. That's your prayer. Instead of, I don't like to listen to that pastor, or that preacher, he is always talking about me. And you want to transfer again to another place. And then, again, the pastor said the same thing. Why is it, are they conniving to tell me what they want to tell me? No. The Lord loves you. Wherever you go, when He speaks to you in this place, even if you go somewhere else, He will speak to you because He cares for you. He wants you to experience much of His grace. So pray for increase of faith. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Reflect and search your hearts a moment. If you enthusiastically admit to the Lord that you want to serve Him, can you say that to yourself? Do you really want to serve Him? It actually proves that His grace had been transforming you pragmatically. Practical transformation is our personal proof that by faith Christ has saved us. Don't just say, I am saved, I believe in Jesus Christ. Do not deceive yourself unless you have that transformation in your life. And then you can readily claim, you do not need to tell anybody or prove to anybody that you are saved, because you yourself, you have that, you sense that, you have confirmed that you are saved. Let's read again verse 1, second part of verse 1. For those through the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. How precious is your faith to the Lord? Do you sincerely say to yourself, without deceiving yourself, that Jesus Christ is your Savior? If so, then you are saved. It's righteousness for the Lord that he sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross for the salvation of all who believe in him by faith. By the grace of God, we are saved by faith. Amen. Faith is precious because it's gift from God. How much do you recognize God? It's like if you are infatuated, for example, young people, you understand this very well. Somebody you are infatuated with gives you a piece of paper, just a piece of paper and a little of a scribbler there that you cannot even sell on the market, but you take it very preciously. Why? You put it in your Bible or your favorite journal. Every time you open it, this comes from this. And perhaps it has been perfumed kind of that paper. And you, I know that smell. It comes from, Do you have that? Have you experienced that? Did you do that before? Young people, older people? That is a small thing that you cannot even sell for $1. It's very precious to you. How much more if faith comes from God? That's the most precious gift of God. When we receive the faith of God, how do we prove that we receive that faith of God? Faith from God. That faith, a gift of faith from God. How do we know that we receive it? We sense that enthusiasm to serve our Savior Jesus Christ. But I believe, yeah, you can deceive yourself. You can say it. I do not dispute that. We don't dispute that. But did you really have faith in God? You have faith in God, you have that enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is, in Greek, it's in theos, in or possessed by God. In God or with God, possessed by God, in theos. In plus theos, in theos, possessed by God. God had possessed us. We want to serve the Lord. Without faith in Christ, we will never respond to his calling to serve. Without faith. Reflect on that. Do you have faith? Peter mentioned specifically that the recipient of his letter, he said that to those, he specified that, to those through the righteousness of God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received faith. To those who receive faith, to those who receive faith as precious as ours, those who saved through the righteousness of God, through Jesus Christ. Those, he mentioned that specifically, those who have precious faith. He did not write his letter to just anybody else who can read. It's not. It's to those who have faith as precious as ours. This is why, even if this letter of Apostle Peter is very precious, not everyone wants to read it or understand it or identify themselves with it, because it is specifically mentioned, Peter mentioned it, that it is to those who have received faith. Have you received faith? Then this message is yours. It's for you. Faith is the reason. When faith is active, we obey and follow the Lord when we hear him or when we read his word. We obey him as personal response to him. It requires faith in Christ in the transformation of the grace of God for believers to gladly obey the Lord. It takes transformation. Don't just deceive yourself again. I would like to repeat that because many are deceiving themselves, saying they are Christians, and yet they have no transformation. When we are transformed, we follow the instruction of Jesus Christ. We follow Christ when we hear his call. Let's read what it narrated in John chapter 1, verse 43 to 48. Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophet also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Now, you might be curious, why did Nathanael, whom Jesus said, Israelite whom there is no deceit, why did Nathanael say, "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Now, if you think about that, it's like, what? North End? Is anything good come from there? Or something like, what? Tondo? Is there anything good come from there? Or like, what? If you are in the United States, Queen, that's some place in New York. Is anything good come from there? Where else? Winnipeg? Is anything good? I don't know. But somebody said that a few years ago, Winnipeg got the highest crime in the crime rate a few years ago, but accordingly, it's now in Saskatchewan. I don't know. So Winnipeg is getting better because it's already in number two or number three now, the crime. To personally prove we really have faith in Christ, and not just pretending to have faith in Christ, we follow him. Don't force yourself. There should be enthusiasm when you follow the Lord. Philip, Andrew, and Peter come from Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a place somewhere around Galilee, Sea of Galilee. And they followed Jesus Christ. They have no hesitation. They did not hesitate when the Lord Jesus called them, "Come follow me." Peter and Andrew, they left their boat and followed him. And the Lord told Philip, "Follow me." Philip just followed him. Philip did not keep his experience with Christ secret. He went to look for Nathanael. Similar with Andrew. Actually, Andrew was the first one who followed Jesus Christ. He looked for Peter. He told Peter, come, let's follow the Messiah. And Peter believed in Andrew. So Andrew and Peter, this is what they did. They just tell others, "Let's go see." Maybe some of you are just like Andrew and Philip, just telling others, "Come and see how the Lord worked in my life. Come," you invite them here at the Maples Evangelical Church, and maybe some among us would tell the gospel to that person. Philip told Nathanael about his experience of Jesus. That is transformational work of the grace of God in the life of believers. When you are transformed, you have that joy. You want to invite others. In comparison, Nathanael was not ready. He was not ready to believe unless he personally proved it. Well, I come, but let's see. I don't totally buy what you said. I want to prove it myself. And many religious people would do that. And if they say they are going to church regularly, they don't readily buy what you say. That is what Nathanael represents. But when the grace of God had transformed us, we sense that urgency to tell others. We do not need to hesitate. We do not hesitate to testify of our personal experience with Christ. It's just spontaneous that we would tell others. We would not think, he would feel that I am encroaching his privacy or her privacy. You don't even think about that because you are telling a good news that person would and should hear. That is transformation. Ask yourself, am I transformed? Now, if you have doubt, seriously pray. Pray, Lord, give me your grace. Give me peace. Give me faith. Help me experience that. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Secure the abundant grace and peace of God. Be sure that you have that. You have secured it. Let's read again verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, Peter was talking about those who have been saved through faith. He was writing that and he said, it's yours. You have secured it. Grace and peace of God, they are freely given to anybody that the Lord had chosen. This giving of grace does not depend on anybody's credential. If you have no credential, you are a student, or you are a worker, or you are a manager, or if you are owner of business, or you're just regular retiree, grace is given when the Lord chooses you to give it to you. By faith, we can have and secure His grace. If you have a sense that grace and peace from the Lord, ask the Lord, Lord, give me faith to believe. Help me receive your grace. So why do we still need to have the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ then? When it says grace and peace be yours, that is all what we need. Why? Knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ included. Knowledge of God in Jesus includes knowing His will. Do you know the will of God? You need to know God. You need to know Jesus. Don't just say, I need to know the will of God. No, you need to know God Himself, in Jesus Christ Himself. How? Regularly read your Bible is your first step. Pray, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. How do we know that grace and peace originated from God? You say, I have the grace and peace of God. How do you know that it originated from the Lord? You know it when you know His will. You know the will of the Lord when you know what He had written, His instruction. The wisdom that comes from God enables us to conceptualize, to comprehend His will. When we have grace and peace of God, we respond spontaneously in praise. We thank Him spontaneously. Nobody would say, come on, clap your hand. Let's praise the Lord. It's in spontaneous. If you want to clap, you want to clap. Not trying to any kind of trying hard. It's not trying hard kind of response. Don't try hard. because it should be spontaneous. And we do not even need to ponder, should I praise God? Should I thank God for this? No, it's spontaneous. It's just come out of your heart. You don't even think about it. Sometimes being intelligent and being methodical is not very helpful because what is the pros and cons if I do this and that? We go there looking for pros and cons still. And we miss it. We miss the opportunity. We believe that peace of God is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? And by faith in Christ, we receive His Holy Spirit. When we have faith in God, in Christ, the Lord sent His Holy Spirit into our life. When we pray, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want you to be my King. Come into my life. The Holy Spirit come into your life by faith. But if you did not sense that Holy Spirit in your life, ask, Lord, increase my faith to believe that I have received the Holy Spirit. Have you personally experienced the abundant grace and peace of God? Can you say that you have already experienced that abundant peace and grace of God? The practical effect of grace and peace from God is what? Practical transformation, personal transformation. That is how you prove that you experience it. That transformation. You want to serve the Lord in everything you do, everything you have. You want, it's not just inside the church setting. That includes how we may utilize material things, the things that you buy. How do you use that? Do you want your house to be a house of prayer? Do you want your car to be used as a testimony of God's grace? I buy this car. Why? No, I want to show my friend that I have a fancy car. It's not. That should not be our motivation. It should be, I buy this car because I want to know, let others know that God had blessed me, that I care for this, not for show off. Just like I remember myself, there's this old cars, this place at Garden City, right? Every year, every summer, there's display of cars. Did you go there? You go there? You take picture, selfie. This is my fancy car, old car. Did you know that I have a collection of that? I have a picture of many of those cars that I like with me in that picture. I just put it in my computer so that I will just view in myself and just laugh at myself. But I don't want to show that in the Facebook that my brothers, sisters, relatives there might say, oh, Pastor, you are very rich. You have a lot of cars. Can you send us things? And that I'll be in trouble. So I don't want them to see that. It's just for my fantasy. But that is how the human nature works. We fantasize, right? But when we are transformed, we have such thinking when we reach that faith of Apostle Paul. Let's read how Apostle Paul testified personally in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 to 11. If someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. I don't expect anybody to say they disregard or consider everything they accumulated as garbage, yet we can say that only when we reach that level of faith of Apostle Paul, the higher level of spirituality. Now, if you think about what you have accumulated, if your cell phone is lost, how do you react? Oh, my pictures, the pictures I took from that beautiful place, it's there. Ah, do you sense that yet? Then you haven't reached the level of Apostle Paul just yet. Well, to be circumcised on the eighth day, that is righteousness to the Israelites, the people of Israel, to be the pride of Paul saying, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin felt they are special because their ancestor Benjamin was the only son of Jacob who was born in Canaan. Every one of his brother, all his siblings were born outside Canaan, so they feel special. We are Benjamites. We are the original inhabitants of this Canaan, Israel. And being a Pharisee, Paul mentioned that. Being a Pharisee, if you are a Pharisee, as if you have doctorate, the Pharisees have doctorate in Jewish laws. They have that level of doctor of philosophy, doctor of laws. So they have that doctorate. So in credentials, he had that highest level of education. So in many Pharisees, they are considered, if you are a Pharisee, you are considered faultless. You cannot charge him anything according to the law because they obey the law accordingly to the dot, to every letter. But why is it that? This is why the Lord used the Pharisees as the highest standard of righteousness of humanity. If you are right, more righteous than the Pharisee, you can be a Pharisee of Pharisee, but it's only by faith in Jesus Christ that we can surpass that. Because everything, giving tithes, if you give them a piece of maybe 1 kilo of onion, for example, onion is very precious in the Philippines, they would weigh that 10% of 1 kilo, that is how many? They would give that as tithe. In everything they receive, they give tithes. And yet there are many Christians who would complain about tithing. In short, Apostle Paul, a Pharisee of Pharisee, had illustrious credentials under his belt. What can you say about him? Yet he considered them all as garbage. Why did he think that way? It's the transformational work of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God. He wants to experience more about Christ. He wants to know more about why this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Son of God, preferred, volunteered, no one pushed him to be crucified on the cross. Why did he want that? Because of the obedience of Jesus Christ, he was given all glory and praise in heaven. And Apostle Paul wanted to experience and know that personally. Not those material things that he had accumulated, because those are garbage credentials. By faith in Christ, he desired the righteousness that comes from God. Now, in this generation, we have social media, and social media, it exposed the natural inclination of human heart. the desire to be recognized and appreciated. And I know that even pastor would do that. They would just post on their social media, my son graduated from this and that. I have this doctorate certificate. I have a lot of classmates who would just post their doctoral. And I feel like, if I didn't come to Canada, will I be, finish my doctorate? I don't know. I'm praying about it, but it's not my priority. That is how human is inclined to. We want to be recognized. They want to be recognized of what they do. It's enticing also to engage in social media. They post something, you react, and then the other person react, and you want to react accordingly. Naturally, we are social being. This is why social media is popular, because we are social being. Many things in this world, including social media, can be used to practice our faith in Jesus Christ. Someone would just message, this is what we are doing. I like that when people would send us pictures of what they are doing in the ministry, and wow, praise God for the life of this person. You cannot help but to pray for that person to even more experience the grace of God. It is. We communicate faster through social media. That's positive, right? We can testify of our belief too. So when people would say, wow, that's a very delicious, just really delicious food, when you post your favorite food, don't just say thanks. Just make sure that you are telling them that because you, the Lord had blessed you. Just say, it's a blessing from the Lord. Just simple as that would remind them, wow, why do you always say that, sister, brother? It's because I want you to experience also what I experienced. So when you go to beautiful places, you say, wow, I like that picture, like that place. Me too, I like it. I want to ponder upon how God had blessed me exceedingly abundantly. Make sure that you put something there, indirectly saying, believe in the Lord and you will have it too, something like that. I don't know how you would do that, but I believe the Holy Spirit can give you wisdom, so that don't just click thumbs up when somebody say thank you, especially if that person who commented is so close near to you, a relative, a friend, acquaintance, maybe classmates in the olden days. Personally, how do you apply what Apostle Paul testified in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 21 to 23? To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Now, don't misinterpret that I don't like people seeing them posting what they experience in the internet. I love watching what you post in the social media, because I do not need to go to that place. I have already seen it in your social media. So I do not need to force myself. I don't want to experience those. What I'm saying is, use that, its weakness, right, of people to post those things. I use that opportunity to respond and message that person you want to be saved. Of course, be prayerful. Don't just write something else that may misinterpret it. There's blessing in sharing how the grace of God transform you. There's blessing when we share the gospel of Christ. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. You can share in the blessing, telling about the gospel of Christ. When we obey the mandate of our Lord, our mandate is to go and witness, testify of what the Lord had transformed in our lives. We also practice faith. We share the gospel of Christ. Now, personal question before we go in prayer. Do you esteem, do you value your faith in Christ as precious? Have you been transformed? Have you personally seen the transformation in your life? Pray fervently. Pray to secure that grace and have that grace and peace from God. Lord, I want that grace and peace. Pray for discernment. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you may approach life as practice of faith. Whatever you do, go to work, go to school, doing social media, watching TV or anything, do it for the glory of God. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that his mandate for us to testify of his death and resurrection, and that we are reminded to look for ourselves. Are we really transformed? Do I really have faith in Jesus Christ? So that when you come Sunday after Sunday, or even Wednesdays, in this sanctuary, encouraging one another, we just don't waste our time. Instead, we want to grow mature in our faith in him. Shall we bow down and pray, even as the church leader would come to join me here?